97.5, The Fanatic.
Let's go to the phones and check in on the Comcast Business Hotline Bounce Forward with Coach Lynam. Coach is a friend of the station and a friend of mine. How are you, Coach Lynam?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. You will be working tonight with the pre and the post game, I assume, correct?
Yes, correct. As you said, the Tampa Raptors.
Yeah.
It's difficult to say that.
I know, exactly. All right, before we get to the actual matchup, in your evaluation of how the Sixers have gotten to 20-10 and sitting atop the Eastern Conference, I guess your first words out of your mouth would be the play of Joel Embiid. But as a group, what has impressed you in terms of the consistent play at one end of the floor or both?
Well, it's a high level, D. Both ends of the court. There are three top guys. Obviously, Embiid is in a class by himself, not just among his teammates, but among his peers in the league. For me, he is the MVP of the league at this point. And when you have that kind of, a top guy, it makes it a little bit easier for others to kind of fall in place in terms of complimenting him. And I think both Ben and Tobias have done, respectively, terrific jobs. And those three have been so good that I think it's maybe a made up a little bit for what I'm going to say has been like a little bit erratic play behind them, whether it's the other starters or now you're talking the bench. But the fact of the matter is they stand atop the East, 20 wins, 10 losses. But I think what you have to keep in mind that for this team, the goal is not like to win the 60 games or go deep, and they're trying to win a championship.
Correct.
I think they're capable of doing that. So I think that's the kind of the metric, if you will, that you have to use when you're trying to evaluate. You do so from that perspective.
Since you mentioned that it is Ben, Embiid, and Tobias, the play, their level of play has really been that outstanding. Would you say that is it personnel change around them or scheme different from a year ago that has allowed them to be at, like, for instance, I would say Tobias is playing like an all-star. I would say that Ben, clearly a top five defender in this league. And, when you see a game like Utah where he puts up the numbers that he did, 42-9-9, that he's trying to even go a step further than his all-star caliber. And as you mentioned, Embiid being an MVP. But personnel or scheme or both?
No, definitely both. The tweaking it like Daryl Morey did, I think, was a big factor. But I don't think you can ignore scheme. There's no doubt. You don't have to get real technical. They're putting the ball in Embiid's hands a lot more. He has way more touches. And, that's the caliber player he is. You can play through him. And Doc Rivers has opted. He's made that decision that that's what we're going to do. And you can, there's a lot of, you can count the number of touches, see how that he's leading the league and shooting free throws. There are a lot of examples as to, and start with the premise that Joe is healthy. He's obviously committed himself in the offseason to be in the best shape he possibly can be in, certainly the best of his career. And I think you could make an assumption from that kind of helps your odds in terms of injury. You see some of the blows that he takes when he goes to the floor. He plays like a no holds barred kind of game, and you have to be in, great. You got to be a warrior, great physical shape to be able to endure what he subjects himself to.
You mentioned that this is about winning a championship, and I agree with you. And I think Doc and Daryl Morey, when they set out this year, said as much. Do they have to add a piece? And if it was in an ideal world, what would the skill set of that piece be?
Well, I would defer to, when I say the experts, I mean the hands-on people. You mentioned Doc and Daryl. And, the two of them know what they're doing, obviously. And they're surrounded by a lot of good people, both on the coaching staff and in the Sixer front office. So my only concern, D, is it is kind of, if you want to look at it in a big picture, that the three-point shooting is huge in this league. Mm-hmm. I'll give you one statistic, that the 76ers average less than 29 threes per game, shooting threes, less than 29. About a week ago out on the West Coast, the Brooklyn Nets, without Kevin Durant, ready? They made, against Sacramento, they made 27 threes in a game. That's 81 points.
Right, I see.
It's only 29. And my concern is, if you look at the four guys who are going to be in that rotation, even if you shorten the rotation, three of them are going to get significant minutes. Shake Milton right now plays half a game, 24 minutes. He's shooting 30% from three.
Not good enough.
No, it's not, plain and simple. In a league that's creeping up toward 37% right. on average.
Yep.
Okay, so Shake is 30%. Furkan Korkmaz is only a little bit over that, 31%. And we know Matisse Thybulle and Maxey are both sub-30% shooters. Those four guys all shooting 30% or less, you could make that statement. That is a red flag, a big, bright red flag for me.
Yeah.
Now, you have two choices. Either they pick it up. Are Shake and Furkan capable of shooting better? Yes, their history says without question. Well, they better start doing it, would be my concern. I think it would be unrealistic to expect either Matisse or Maxey, you know, to pull their percentage up, you know, like, let's say, dramatically.
Right.
So, therefore, you have a decision in front of you. As you said, I heard you a little earlier, you have about less than a month, probably, because of the All-Star break. So, you can't make that, you can't come, we're only going to be halfway through the season in, what, another seven or eight games.
Yes.
So you're going to have to make a decision, see, early on. You can't make a decision, let's say, that the season is 72 games long. Oh, at the 60-game mark. You know what? We don't have enough three-point shooting. The 60-game mark is past the trading deadline.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little difficult for these guys. They're going to have to make a tough decision earlier than you would like with respect to, do we have to go get a significant other piece that shoots the three ball consistently?
Wow. Well, those four percentages are alarming a little to me.
thank you. Because of the minutes those guys are going
to have to be on the court.
Thank you. Somebody's got that group is going to be on the court for significant minutes. And I understand, yes, you'll cut your rotation. Well, you can't cut it to five.
Right.
So you're not going to survive in the playoffs deep, in my opinion, the way Joe will get doubled. I'm not going to let Joe get 50 against me in the playoffs.
Right.
Which means I'm going to commit to double teaming. And I'll have to take my chances of you making enough threes. Well, if you have a lot of 30% shooters out there, you are not going to make enough threes.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, so let's move ahead to tonight's game, which is against the Raptors, as I mentioned. And while I think people talk about, you know, last night Miami's starting to look a little better, and they beat the Lakers, we know that who Milwaukee is. Brooklyn's coming on, and they're right behind you. But Toronto's won 7-3 in their last 10 and won 3 in a row. This is not a pushover game, correct?
No. And Toronto, you know, as you said, they struggled early on for whatever reason, and they're playing better of late. Siakam got off to really a very, very poor start. And, you know, they need him to be certainly an all-star.
Yes.
They paid him that way, and the nature of their team, the way it's constructed, they need him to be, like, good, good. But they've had some guys, like, kind of on the upswing. Norman Powell, who I know is just the name that half the people won't even know. He's a young fellow out of UCLA, and I know him because a scout friend of mine loved him at UCLA, more as a defender. Well, he's
coming on.
I'll bet Siakam's averaging over his last 10 games. I'll take the shot, so I'm not going to be wrong. He's averaging over 23 points a game. He's turning himself into a really good player. So if Toronto can get their act together, yeah, they'll be a legitimate threat.
Ben Simmons and Shake are said to be probable for tonight. I do think that they have missed not just one of them, but both of them, especially because they're your two best ball handlers. I mean, I think just by them coming back, even if they're not 100%, is a lift up for the team. Would you agree with that?
No, I would agree with you 100%. I mean, you only have to go back to the last game. I said to Amy on air in one of the breaks, I said, look at Tobias's number. Tobias had like a sensational game. I'm going to guess and say like 24 points, 9 or 10 rebounds, 6 assists. And he was an afterthought because Joel was so good with his 50-point night. So saying all that, and they needed like late baskets to be able to beat Chicago.
Right.
The Chicago Bulls, you know, it's well under 500 team. To your point, that's the degree to which they miss what Shake and Ben can contribute.
Yeah, that they bring to the table. All right, well, I appreciate your time. We'll look forward to seeing you on the pre- and the post-game show. And I think it's been, to this point, they are a very fun team to watch play, by the way. I don't know.
Oh, without question.
Right? Isn't it? It's just entertaining basketball.
Yeah, I said to a couple of, in a conversation the other day, and I mean this honestly, that they've aroused the fan in me. You know, you know, we do this for a living. We see a lot of basketball, obviously, but we also, I mean, we're allowed to be a fan.
Sure.
And I agree with you. They really, just starting with Joel, but they're a unique group. I mean, Ben Simmons is a unique talent. He's the kind of guy, it's fun to talk about him. He's a bit of a contradiction. There's a guy supposedly has this huge offensive hole in his game, and he goes for 42 one night.
Right.
Come on. great conversation.
All right, wait a minute. This is my last thought, because you're bringing up Tobias and Ben. And on Tuesday, they'll announce who the reserves are for the All-Star game. And, you know, why I don't know that they should be playing the All-Star game, but that's beside the point. Will we hear both Ben and Tobias's names called?
Yeah, that's a good question, D. I think Tobias will be in, and maybe I'm speaking from my heart when I say that, because but the coaches are going to do the picking.
You know, correct.
You know, the replacements are the coaches. I think they'll evaluate and put Tobias in. And I'm going to say that that's a tough call for Ben. See, Ben's play prior to February, he wasn't scoring enough to be an All-Star, quite simply. That's just a fact.
Right.
You know, if Ben is listening right now, he might not agree with me.
He's in Tampa, Ben, so hopefully he's not listening.
Okay, well, you know, in all due respect, I'm welcome to my opinion. I love Ben. You know that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a, you know, integral part of without question. Is he an All-Star level player blindfolded? But the fact of the matter is, you have to score more than 13 points a game
to get
the All-Star game. Yeah. Now, the Ben Simmons start in February, that's a different guy.
Right.
And put the 42-point game aside. His scoring picked up dramatically. He's got to score 15, 16 points a game.
Yeah, and he's now averaging 15, by the way.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, 42 will do wonders for
you. Yeah, for you over. Yeah, exactly.
But I'm going to say, D, on a guess, I'm putting Tobias in. I'm predicting. Tobias in, yes. Ben getting nipped at the wire because the likelihood of three Sixers, despite the fact the best record in the East, I'm just not sure that the votes will fall that way.
Right, because I think if there's a team that gets three, it's going to be Brooklyn.
Well, star power, we've seen it do amazing things.
Yeah, I mean, and they have two in the starting lineup, so are you leaving Harden out is basically what I would say.
Yeah, hard to do. You said, like, based on the way the season's unfolded and the probability of how coaches see things, I would say Harden probably nips. And if it came down to those.
Right, exactly. And then it might come down to that.
Right.
All right, Coach, this was fun. Thanks for the time. By the way, I had a caller earlier that gave your beard. I'm really digging. Jimmy's rocking the beard. That
wow.
Yeah, you got to. I said, wow. We don't get a lot.
Off air, I'll have to, off air, I'll have to get that caller's name to, you know, give him personal thanks.
Greg from Bethlehem.
There you go. All right, Greg, appreciate it, buddy. No, I thought it's a protest beard. You know, a little bit of protest against all extremists of any persuasion, number one, and a protest against COVID. So when things start calming down a little bit, you know, I'll start to trim it up.
All right. Looking good. Thanks for your time. I do appreciate it always.
Yeah, a lot of fun, Dee. Thanks.
All right. Take care. I'll talk to you soon. That is Coach Lynam, a.k.a. Dad, on the Comcast Hotline. Bounce forward.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.